This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The thing I'm trying to do is I don't want to turn my back on it because it does make me uncomfortable. So right. That's the point of these conversations. 100%. And I know that you're really passionate about this. So I'm reminding you, if there's a part of you, if you're listening to this, that goes, oh, I don't get it. I don't think I like it. Yeah. I think it's unnatural. Whatever the bullshit is, don't turn your back on it because it's here. So we all have to play.
Oh yeah.
We all have to be involved.
It feels like we're in the movie Don't Look Up.
Oh God. Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Gabby Reece Show. So I love that we call these bonus episodes. And if people have not joined us before, we have taken my kitchen counter talks. I'm here with my dear friend, Elijah Allen Blitz, who is obviously younger.
And not obviously.
Yeah.
Not obviously.
Oh, okay. What's my, we'll talk about your age thing later.
Like telomeres
I'm going to
yeah.
stab your eyeball. I'm 12. Fuck off. Anyway, Gabby, guess how old I am? No, anyway.
I did not say that.
I know. I'm kidding. Sounds good.
It does.
Anyway, you are the one person who keeps me informed, open-minded to technology. So all of these segments, we will have a technology component, but you know, we might sprinkle a little life stuff in there.
Because that's how it goes.
Because I think they're connected too.
Absolutely.
This technology is messing with my life a little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And life is messing with technology a little. Yeah.
Life really gets in the way of technology.
It really does. It's stopping whatever's happening.
That's true. Okay. So let's go right into the tech talk. So okay. You were saying that the ChatGPT store is now open.
I believe.
Or is this right?
Recording today, it's not. They said this week.
Okay.
Yeah.
So by the time this comes out?
Probably. Yeah.
What does that mean?
So Sam Altman had announced it before he got fired. And basically, you're able to create your own, what are called GPTs. Mm-hmm. So it's your own, your own app, essentially. It's like you can input, you know, basically your own information. You can create something that teaches you how to play board games, optimizes YouTube algorithms, whatever you want. And you can now, what you will be able to do in the next few days is sell it. But they're going to have a store and they're going to give you some sort of revenue share. And we will see how big or not big it is. Because like the Apple App Store is like something like $80 billion a year.
Google, did you say $80 billion?
$80 billion, yeah. That's how much people make.
And what's the split on that? Do we know?
Apple takes 30%.
30?
Yeah.
For just putting on their platform?
Yeah, for being the App Store. Because they were the original. I mean, I think Google makes like $40 billion on the Android store.
Okay.
But like Apple was the original, right? Like it was the iPhone and they were the first App Store.
I have a question.
Yeah.
This just occurred to me.
Yeah.
Why is it that all of this conversation around the environment and like I got stuck into Apple because I got an iPhone, then I had an iPad, then I have a laptop, and then I have a person, so I'm in, right?
Me
all
too.
My stuff
me
is
too.
Sharing. Okay. And I always laugh that the most techie people all have Androids.
Yeah.
They know something we don't know.
Well, I mean, they're able to do things with it we're not able to do.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's what I said. They know things we don't know.
Absolutely.
You could probably do it though.
I'm not interested. I'm totally bought
you
in.
Like the ease of use?
Yeah. And I mean, whether it's just because I love Steve Jobs or whatever, it's just, I'm bought into the ecosystem. Like I'm hooked. Yeah. Everything. It's so simple. It's so there.
Steve Jobs would think, well, he's probably watching from someplace, but it'd be interesting to know what he thinks. I also,
what?
Sometimes I feel like there was some kind of karmic bill he paid for inventing this stuff. And I appreciate that if you're, for example, at 60 Minutes, and I won't get off track too much, they had this beautiful story of how For autistic people, the iPad, the swiping created a freedom of conversation and freedom. So for me, you know what? Amen.
Yeah.
Or someone maybe who can, move their limbs through some kind of, okay, great. That's technology. But there's another part of me that it has been very destructive for young people. I mean, I have a teenage daughter. I see the friends, I see young people, I see how flipped out, wild, anxious, just everything that this technology, this particular technology has created. And I couldn't help but think, and I don't, this is, you know, I'm not, I know Steve Jobs is a person and has a family and all, you know, these things. There's a part of me that's like, oh, he paid up front with his karma leaving. Like, I'm also curious, like, I wonder if one of his kids, struggles with anything because of social media. Like, it's like, would be some kind of wild justice of like, you helped invent this thing.
Right.
That is a runaway train.
Yeah,
what?
I mean,
no, what?
When you say you helped invent this thing that's a runaway train, he invented the
smartphone.
But the device itself.
Oh, here you go.
That's what this is. To me, the iPhone is the definition of a tool. It's the ultimate
tool.
This is
definitely some of our bullshit conversations that we have in the kitchen.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's the ultimate tool. I mean, if you had this device 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, it would have been the philosopher's stone. I mean, when like alchemists talk about the philosopher's stone, it was like the device that could tell you where you would find food.
But we never use it that way.
We use it to find food and get directions and talk to people across the planet.
To go to a restaurant.
I'm just, you can find the best rated restaurants and all the things. Like, it's the ultimate tool. And listen, bright light, dark shadow. So there's all those things.
But humans
you just said comes with
don't conduct themselves in their high frequency in all ways. We love to look at car wrecks. Different. We love the easy way.
Yeah.
Me included. I'm not separate from this. I just force myself in other ways not to do it.
Yeah.
But I'm just, okay. So you get what I'm saying, right?
I mean, I get what you're saying, but I disagree that the benefits outweigh the downsides.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that what you think?
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. So,
that's TBD because I think we're in the middle of the experiment
right now. Okay.
So we're going to see where this goes. That. Yeah.
I guess I think because it's all the low hanging fruit and bullshit.
What is?
Social media and the way we're using it to bitch and moan at each other. But we're not really using it to like.
He didn't invent social media.
I know, but he created a portable platform that people live on this thing.
Yes.
And, it wouldn't exist. If we had flip phones, we wouldn't have Instagram.
For sure.
People aren't going to be double, triple clacking to put an A on to Twitter or something.
You're right.
Okay.
And would somebody else have done it eventually? Like, almost certainly. You know, his thing was a bicycle for the mind. Like, you know this analogy?
Yes.
How like we as humans, I think, are the eighth fastest species basically for power output in terms of how fast we can go.
Correct.
And then you get on a bicycle and we're number one for anything in the animal kingdom. So this is that for your mind. That was his whole idea. So it's a tool. This is still a tool. When we talk about AI stuff, we can be blurring the lines of what's a tool and what's something else. But this thing, this is the philosopher's stone. This is the ultimate. And yeah, you could totally, if you give it in the hands of everybody, which is now the case, there's more iPhones in the world than there are people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Messed up things are going to happen.
Well, that just seems to be the loudest.
Oh, well, also, what do we pay attention to? Is the loudest is our amygdala goes. So what's the fear? Where's the danger? So we're paying attention to that. But I think we can easily overlook all the benefits that this allows.
Fair enough. Because that's always quiet and that's always very smooth.
And the majority of people probably listening to this or watching it right now are watching it on one of these devices.
I always love that. That's actually my favorite thing is people online saying, you know, you got to get off your device. Like, I'm going to help you how to make your life better. Spend less time online. It's just like,
People online saying I'm going to spend
less time online. It's just so confusing.
My algorithm hasn't spit that out for me.
Oh, you haven't gotten that? Oh, I get that. Because I get a lot of life coaches, bro. People who pretend to know anything.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I get the life coaching thing, but telling somebody how to get off their device while you're on the...
They're like, these are like the five things to just make your life better and to downregulate and get with one with the universe. Okay. And usually inevitably up in the top five is...
Get off your phone.
Get off your phone. After you're done liking
and
subscribing.
Video. Like and subscribe.
Get off.
Yeah.
Forever. Until come back in a week. Anyway, so I have something else profound. All right. The great analogy for the store that you talked about, the ChatGPT store, was Mr. Big. you said, because this is somebody who's studied, Mr. Beast. So if anyone's ever understood that Mr. Beast basically took 11 months and really figured out like what thumbnail size and what, how long of a video and just all of these things that would make something work better online or go more viral, get more numbers. And by the way, this seems to be a guy who actually is using it as a tool.
Absolutely.
This is a G.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, bow down to Mr. Beast. I'm sorry. That's probably why I call him Mr. Big, because for me, it's like, this guy is giving things away. He's helping people. He's not accumulating wealth for himself.
He puts all the money back into the next video. He's
It's really beautiful. Yeah. It's actually freaking beautiful. But
have you seen the stat of last year's YouTube growth?
No.
You have to see it. So maybe they can put this in the show notes or something, but I can tell you what it's saying, but just look at this. You just have to visually just see it.
What is that?
So this is, I'll just read it for you.
Okay.
Top 20 channels that gained the most subscribers in 2023.
Okay.
So I'll just start.
I mean, that's like double, than double.
Quadruple. Well, I don't know.
So just for people not who can't see and you're not going to.
I'm going to read it out.
The top is a blue line.
Yeah. So it's like number four, Real Fools Short Officials gained 28 million followers.
Wow.
Da Fook Boom gained 36 million followers. Zam Electronics, 40 million followers. And then top one is Mr. Beast. And it's just off the grid, over 100 million.
Yeah. He gained in the 1 year.
In last year.
Yeah. So not only obviously is he good at what he's doing, he's also doing a lot of positive things with this. But the point is that he could, when you said that to me the other day about him,
the GPT store,
selling all that he's learned, compressed it, he could sell in the GPT store. I thought, oh, okay, I get that.
Exactly.
Okay. Let's have another example. What would be an interesting way?
I mean, let's take, you know, any doctor or someone you're interested in. The lady you were telling me about, the hormone thing. Maybe she can do something that is like an interactive chatbot, or any of these people, Peter Attia, Ron Patrick, anybody. Or I mean, that's just in the health and wellness space.
Yeah.
You guys could do something. I mean, it's an interactive, if you have original or proprietary data information.
What? I have nothing original.
That's bullshit. Come on.
Laird and I. Okay, let's play that game.
Let's take Laird out this game.
No, well, I want to hear Laird. There's an expertise better than me at anything.
Yeah, but is it compressible into that version? I don't know. Yeah,
that's what I mean.
I can play the game with you, Eli.
Okay, what would I put on a store that I could actually give to other people that would somehow enhance their lives?
I would take all of your podcasts, you can do like the closed captioning thing. So you have the transcripts, take all the transcripts from all your podcasts and upload that. And then be like, it's like an interactive Gabby chatbot. And you could like have your perspective. And then these are all the things I've learned throughout these episodes version.
Would ChatGPT parse that out for me?
That's what's so crazy about this GPT store, how easy it is. You don't need any coding experience. You type in, I want to make a bot that does this. And it says, cool, answer these questions. Cool, here's my answers. Now, great, here's your bot.
What am I charging, like $1.99?
Don't know. The store hasn't come out yet, so nobody knows.
And I'm paying you to get my store.
Or just put it out for free. Like, just be like, here's.
Okay, so Mr. Beast, we could see him going, these are all the ways that I grew my YouTube videos and my channel.
Right.
Okay. So that makes sense. So for people, let's use it as a, how about a new mom somebody who's worked with new moms and dealing with the first 6 months, a nurse or somebody who's taught moms how to nurse and deal with sleep issues or whatever. So they could load all this in.
Yeah.
And could the mom interact and ask questions?
That's what it is. Yeah. So it's like, your own app, essentially. The app is the way we think of it, but they're calling it a GPT.
Okay. So I'm a guy, I'm 17 and I live in Kansas.
Yeah.
I want to get bigger.
Okay.
And so I can have, let's think about it. More plates, less dates.
More plates, more dates.
Dates. That guy, he's very smart. Yeah, full name? What's his real name?
Derek.
Yeah. So Derek, who's smart.
Very.
He could create something and be like, hey, if you're just starting, try this. These are supplements that are silly. These are the ones that work.
And for him, you could be like, you want to go natural or
sequencing,
not natural?
Sequencing. Yeah, you do start with this many reps and all that.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. More information that people will not do anything with. That's amazing. Okay.
We'll see. Because you could also then have one that's an accountability thing. And it's just, I mean.
Okay.
Yeah. There's, I mean.
Oh, see, I should do that.
There you go.
Bossy Gabby.
Or just be, it's like accountability Gabby.
See, Lair could do that. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah. It would just say, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
What are you doing over there? What are you doing?
He would also say, you know, in a row is more than once, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. He's like, we're going to do 300 gorillas. And then he's like, okay, great. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the great thing is we only have 200 left.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Okay. So yeah. I get that. So for those of you, if you have a really strong expertise at something, I think that is exciting because it is exciting for, oh gosh, it could be interesting too. Have you ever seen the app where I used to walk with a friend of mine's, their son, and he would have this over his phone and he would could put it over any plant.
Yes.
And tell you what it is.
Yes.
Which is kind of, it's extraordinary.
Yeah.
That's extraordinary.
Yeah. Okay. It's cool, right? It's a tool. It's a cool tool.
Yeah. My thing is like, let's say you're a farmer.
Yeah.
Because I do feel we've moved into a place in time where people are really interested in their food, or at least they say they are.
Yep.
And none of us know really how to do it. So it'd be interesting if like people had these sort of real life skills that you could compress. I know they have YouTube videos.
Yeah.
So that's the other point. I guess what I'm saying is it because you can ask real questions?
What's interactive?
I just don't get that. It's how does the AI, do you get what I'm saying?
No, so finish the sentence because
how is it interactive? Like what about the AI is nimble, or do you have to pre-answer all the questions and load them in?
I mean, you're feeding it data.
Okay.
And your information or what information you want it to draw from.
Okay.
I mean, again, like with the board game example, you didn't make up the board game, but you could have one that teaches you how to play all these board games that you uploaded all of the information for.
Okay.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I'm finally going to learn chess.
Maybe.
It's about time.
Yeah. Or Catan.
No. That never looks fun to me. Nothing about that looks fun. Do you have brick? Do you have brick? I only have goats. I only have goats. Oh, I'm like, this God. Game looks, kill me.
Everyone calls it ore. He's like, no, cobalt. You guys have cobalt?
Wait, who says this?
Laird. Because when Laird plays, everyone calls it ore.
Yeah, of course.
He's like, he's a cobalt. You guys have cobalt?
He's more realistic. For sure. Oh, my God. Lithium. Okay, I'm going to be interested to see. I know that there's things that are more intuitive to you about AI than me. I'm not fully getting my brain around it, but that's okay.
And also, I mean, there's things that like I've just thought about, and it's like I don't know how much of it can like could be communicated, and what's like repeating myself too much. But this is where that line does blur between being a tool and starting to become a conscious entity,
right?
And that's what that part of the answer to your question is like, how does it do this? It's because this thing is on the trajectory to become conscious.
Right, but it has no experience, which I find fascinating. Like it's going to tell you how to do all the stuff, but it doesn't have the actual experience, which is sort of interesting.
Yet. It doesn't have the experience yet and has the
AI is not going to plant a tree or fix some leaky pipe. What do you mean? Like some robot's going to go out and do it?
Yeah.
Okay, Elijah.
Yeah. Have you not seen Optimus? Like the Tesla robot?
Yeah, I know. And then someone said to me the other day that Tesla is really a mapping company.
Maybe. I mean, Tesla might be an AI company.
You know what I mean?
No, that's a real thing. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. But the robot cracked an egg. Like, and that might not seem
crazy.
No, but like,
listen, I get this. I understand the importance of this. Yeah, I know.
That's subtle. That's like, picked up the egg. Anyway, I mean,
I'm glad how it excites you. It doesn't excite me. It's weird how it thrills you. And I'm like, holy shit. Listen, we're in trouble.
It wasn't like I was thrilled when I saw that demo, but I saw the potential.
No, I understand. But the fact that the potential excites you, and I don't know if it's also because you're a male, I think it's doubled up. You're younger than me and you're male.
Okay.
For me as a woman, I'm like, there's a part of me that I find it so unsettling because the notion of nurturing and touching and doing and experiencing. As who I am in the world and by nature also I just came off with interviewing Dr. Taz, which is like not every one of us, but most women are set up to be nurturers. Doesn't mean we're not tough. Doesn't mean we won't kick your ass, but we are also set up to be nurturers. And there's something intuitive in me that is against this. It goes against the nurturer in me. And I don't know what it is. I don't know how to put it into words.
Well, there's a really important distinction to make because everything you just described, I hope it never replaces. that actual sense of touch. But if you're like talking about fix a leaky pipe or plant a tree, I'm cool with the robot doing that. But that sense of touch, like.
But do you know what it does for a young person to fix a leaky pipe or to plant a tree?
But again, you can have both in this scenario.
Why would you?
I'm just saying you can. We still do a lot of things that we could automate.
But do you know what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying. And it was more like answering the question because you were like, well, when's it going to do this? It was like, well,
it's
going to happen.
But I think it'll just everything will. If it entails work.
Yeah.
Because remember, our biology is to set up to work as little as possible.
Right.
And right.
But we're having to all consciously shift that. Not all of us, but the majority of us, at least in this country, are consciously having to work to shift that.
And you see how that's going?
Well, it not so well.
Right.
Yeah, I get it. 100%.
So I'm saying as the female and who I, this I'm having a visceral response to this because it's based in that. And I'm not being a Debbie Downer.
No,
I don't believe in people. I'm one of the most disciplined people there is. So it's not that I don't know it's possible.
Right.
But I don't see it.
Right. Again, we've talked about it before, but I think the only way out is through. Like, I think we're too far down this rabbit hole.
I know you're right.
This crazy stuff.
I don't think you're wrong.
So, but that's
what I mean. You're the only person I can attack on this right now.
No,
I'm the only one sitting.
I'm here. I'm with you.
But it's not about you.
No, I know. Yeah.
Because I know that my feelings aren't unique.
For sure. Oh yeah. For
and
sure.
And the thing I'm trying to do is I don't want to turn my back on it because it does make me uncomfortable. So that's the point of these conversations. 100%. And I know that you're really passionate about this. So I'm reminding you, if there's a part of you, if you're listening to this, that goes, I don't get it. I don't think I like it. Yeah. I think it's unnatural. Whatever the bullshit is, don't turn your back on it because it's here. So we all have to play.
Oh yeah.
We all have to be involved.
It feels like we're in the movie Don't Look Up.
Oh God. I get it.
This is the asteroid.
Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. And we're all just kind of like, oh, it's normal. It's like, no, this isn't normal.
Yeah.
This is coming. Yeah. I mean, there was a Forbes report that just came out.
What?
I think today it was like they predict in the next 2 years it's just AI will take out half of the entire workforce. Like it'll be replaced. And these are all real things. And it's not like any of these things are going to be without consequences, positive and negative.
Yeah.
And there's going to be so many unknowns. But just to, like you're saying, to not pay attention to it is crazy. Then you're playing Don't Look Up.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Yeah.
Okay. Perplexity.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean.
Oh, did you want to finish on something?
I feel like there was.
Did I cut you off?
No. I mean, just because we, you know, it feels like it's this whole thing about when we were talking about tools and seeing the potential in these things. And yeah, we can go all the way down the rabbit hole of how terrible a lot of this can be, maybe likely to be, but also like the positive and just seeing the potential in this, you know, I guess it is, I don't, and you said with this because it's JH thing or, you know, male, female thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I do like, for me, it's like when I saw VR, it was like, oh, it was perfect, but I saw the potential, you know, I was like, oh, we could create psychedelic trips. We can create empathy. Mm-hmm. We can do these things. So I just, that encouragement, even for our conversation, for anybody listening, it's like, just be open and there's always going to be, now again, not always, but I believe there's especially with this, there's definitely a potential for not just good, but great.
But the amount of self-restraint and discipline we will need, and also, okay, I'm going to push back
please,
on this
please.
Because the powers that be that so far have been in these spaces, I'm not impressed with in the ways that they've used it, i.e. Google, Facebook, you know, who go down the list.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, people have been, you know, it's clear, like we have these organizations like the FDA and all these people that are supposed to be supposedly looking out for us. I mean, it's our job to look out for ourselves, by the way.
Yeah.
Number one, be responsible. However, if these groups are put in place to watch out for us, look at our food system, look at what they've done there. So there's a part of me that goes, will this just be another money grab that it's sorry for you, you're going to get your ass kicked if you don't have the self-regulation or the means to protect yourself or defend yourself, and like it's all bets are off. And that's the part for me that's the nurturing part in me that makes me nervous, because it's like, hey, I'm not so impressed with the way they've handled things thus far. And they're only gaining more and more power.
And like we've talked about before too, I think this is the opportunity, or this has the potential that takes the power away from them, all of us, in that regard.
You think so?
This could be the great equalizer.
Interesting. Okay. I'll think about that one.
Yeah.
And then we'll beat this down 75 more times. You'd be like, gosh, she's still on that?
No. It's real.
I can't get my head totally around it.
100%. But okay. Just the simple version is that goes back to the end of democracy and the digital god that Elon Musk talked about in that interview. Yeah. It's like, that's where that leads. And it's not guaranteed.
Yeah, no.
We don't know. And to just be like, your intuition is saying something. Let's talk about it.
That's why I bring it up. Yeah. I bring up, heart and nature and these things. That's all. I just don't know how they're going to coexist. And maybe that, like you said, we have to get through it and we'll know. My feeling is like, how is this going to work?
I have ideas just when I think about it, because I don't want to be just representing cold, hard technology.
Yeah, especially because you're like 23 biologically. My telomeres.
I shouldn't even told you that shit.
I'm going to bring that up every week.
No.
Go ahead. I'm joking.
No. I'm just saying that
Go ahead.
I don't want to just represent just that, because it's, it's not. Everything you just described is like the essence of where I come from. And I see these tools having the potential to be amplifiers for those feelings, emotions, heart, connection, empathy, like these values that we hold so dearly.
Mm.
It has the potential to be amplifiers of that.
Well, we're going to see.
We're going to, absolutely. Yes. Not only are we going to see, I would say and let's be engaged.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Here comes Uber Eats, and here comes I sit on the couch longer. It's I have my phone and I can do my emails. I mean, I do like the idea of I can work from anywhere, but it seems that it has really landed people in a more artificial, more depressed location. And like you said, it could just be the transition. So
And some people might want to live like the movie WALL-E.
Yeah.
Some people might want that. We can't judge. That's not up to me. If somebody wants that, that's up to them.
Okay.
That's not my thing. That's not your thing, but we're different. And if somebody is like, no, you know what? My life would just be better living in a simulated world, fed intravenously.
Mm-hmm. But isn't it part of this? We're in school. Isn't this part that we're supposed to do the work? That we're not supposed to get off the hook. We're not supposed to.
That's my feeling. That's your feeling. And that's not to say we're right, but that's what both of us feel. I'm with you 100% on that.
Okay.
And I can't tell somebody else how to do it.
No, you're right. Yeah. That's very fair. I'm getting old enough too, where I don't need to tell other people how to be.
You're a living example. That's
no, but I'm saying I can see that, but then it's like, don't bitch and moan about how you feel or how unhappy you are, or how lonely you are. Shut up then. That's the only other part for me.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean? People will be like, oh, and it's like, but it's not like this, like that. It's like, okay, well, you don't get it always.
Yeah. It's like, oh, that's a problem. There are solutions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and so before we move on to perplexity, my joke about you with your, is cause you've gotten your biological age. So your chronological age is how old?
36.
What do you say like that?
Well, I'm about to be 37.
Yeah, you're a baby. Good job.
I was like, which number should I say? Because it depends on
what's coming out. So you're 36.
Yeah.
But your biological age, suck it, Brian Johnson.
Oh, my God.
He spends $2 million. I love you, Brian Johnson, but he spends $2 million a year. And you're what, 23?
Yeah, my telomeres, I think, were 23. And my methylation was, I think, 26.
Yeah, now you're really bragging. So
I'm being accurate.
Great. Yeah. So congratulations.
Thank you. Good
reminder and proof. And you work consistently at it.
Absolutely.
So I just also want to use that as encouragement for other people that we can slow down. I call it slow aging because anti-aging is ridiculous.
Well
just said. Call it slow aging.
Slow aging.
So you're doing the good job. Your skin looks great, Lige.
Thank you, Kathy. I'm working on it.
Ladies, Lige's single. Okay. Perplexity.
Oh, shit.
But you need 27, 28 older, right? 27, 28, even though your telomeres are 23.
I'm not going to put
a limit.
Okay. We'll see how that goes. That's up to the universe.
Still open for children though, please. Okay. Perplexity.
Perplexity. What a segue. So it's an app. We've actually talked about it before because it's one of these AI apps that I really use. This is what's so interesting about Perplexity. So one thing is it's essentially a search engine powered by AI, and it is interactive, and they're going to as a Google killer, as people are branding it like that. But $520 million valuation made with 38 people. There's only 38 people that did this. It's that's powerful. And that's just
But what does it do?
It's, I mean, I could show you, but it's essentially you could ask any question and you could use it like Google, except there's no ads and there's no what they call hallucinations, where it just makes up random shit. And it like sources all the material.
Is there such a thing?
Oh yeah, on OpenAI or ChatGPT or any of those things, like that thing, you have to double check a lot of the information you get.
Amazing.
Kids,
if you're using that to write your school reports.
Yeah. Oh, there was a lawyer.
You didn't know this?
We didn't talk about this?
No.
There was a lawyer that used it to write his entire legal brief and didn't fact check it. And the judge was like, what the fuck is this? Like, yeah.
Some kid out of law school.
Something.
He's like, pada.
He was in Florida, of course.
Florida. Okay. Yeah. So you mentioned like how we're adapting to AI. Does this feel like it's quick? Does it's slow? Does it freak you out? It's a tribe of teenage men, 20-year-olds. What is it? What's up?
Well, I mean, just let me ask you, like the fact that we can create photorealistic images, like you've seen some of the stuff now, and the fact that you could just say, oh, rewrite my text in the style of William Shakespeare, you know, and that's just a total normal thing, and or make a rap song out of the, you know, the chapter of Exodus in the Bible, whatever you want. That's so normalized now. People are like, yeah, cool, whatever.
See, okay, this is the interesting thing for me. God, I'm dating myself.
What?
I don't even care. So I did go to you to talk about, you know, using this for our businesses, for Laird Superfood and Laird Apparel, especially where you could sort of try to generate a lot of images, test things, see what worked well, just all this idea. Because, and it's like I told the people at our companies, like, we may not have to use this all the time. And I do believe that we also don't, people are going to get desensitized to it. So the idea of real people is going to still be important because we're going to want to see real people no matter what. Like, it's sort of like when I watch a movie based on a true story versus one that's completely made up, I'm more vested, even if the movie's no good, when I know it's based on a true story.
That's a very interesting analogy.
Why?
Because that you're believing the narrative that it was based on a true story. I think a more appropriate analogy for this would be a movie shot on film compared to digital. Does that make sense?
No, because if I'm selling Laird Superfood, I am really me. If it's some made up girl that's what never existed, that has no life's experience and has had no heartbreak and no anything, it's in there.
This is a different thing than I understood.
Okay.
I thought you, because I was thinking, what if we did like a digital photo shoot with you that you never had to show up to?
No. Oh, it'd be fantastic. Yeah. Are you kidding? Let's get Gabby from 95. I'm down with all that.
Okay, cool.
I'm talking about
the backstory.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
And so we're never, you know, our companies are never going to abandon hopefully not Laird and I, but because we're part of it. We're really a part of it. But so I think that we're never going to fully, even the consumer isn't going to be like, oh yeah, I accept that. It's just, we're still going to be interested in people, real ones. However, I'm interested in using this as a tool, as you stated, for obvious reasons. And so I've been learning more about this, but the only thing that you just said, like, for example, writing a text in Shakespeare or seeing an image that's extraordinary, my hope for people is that they don't get so accustomed to everything that they can't appreciate anything.
That's what I'm talking about.
It'd be like every single night you just have the most incredible sunset. Yeah. And after yeah. It's like, how do we keep the miracle be amazed? You're good at this. I could easily ignore it. Really? See, and maybe that's why I'm sensitive to it. I could easily be like, yeah, that's pretty. You know, I live on Kauai long enough and I'm like, oh, it's another rainbow, you know? So I'm just saying my whole thing for people is like, you know, things that are extraordinary. Because life is only made up of your ability to notice and appreciate these things.
Amen.
And so that is my hope. Instead of like, oh, that was good. Oh, that's cool. Oh, yeah, that's unique.
Yeah.
And then you're just piling through your day in life.
Yeah. Hedonic adaptation.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
Yeah. That's what I'm seeing with this.
Like, yeah.
And we're not even taking the time to be like, what the But, yeah. You know, if you told all of us a year ago that this was going to be a thing, we'd be like, yeah, maybe in 10 years.
Yeah.
But you know, this is right. And not only has it been, it's just been a year and we're all just like, cool, it's normal. What's next? What do you got
now?
Yeah.
And yes. So I just, you know, slow or, and it doesn't mean you have to, you know, get 9 people to come in the room and be like, check this out, but just within your spirit.
Yeah.
You know, and cause we have that in little moments. I used to say that when I had little kids, sometimes you'd hear them walking or running towards you and you'd hear those little footsteps and you didn't have to be like, oh my God, it's that sound. But within you, it's like, no man, take that in. That's one of the things of life. And it's the same with a sunset or a beautiful something.
Yeah.
So I really hope that people, slow it down enough. It's like beautiful food.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just swallow it. Yeah. Like try to taste it and chew it and be like, wow, that somebody prepared that. And that's really good.
Experience it.
Yeah. So,
and it is so interesting, like the parallels of that, because the actual experiences from nature and human connection and food and appreciating those moments. Mm. And it ties into this technology in a very strange, and I didn't even think about it until now, unexpected way where it's like, and it's actually behooves us to pay attention to that in this way.
Yeah.
Because if we take the not even 30,000 foot view, but just a step back and say, look how fast we all just got used to that.
Yeah.
Even the iPhone, like we are all so dependent on the thing. And it's, I mean, yes, again, going back to this tool thing, but it's worth paying attention to. It was Duncan Trussell, who I love, says some just amazing shit. What did he say? Well, it's like, sorry, I'm going to paraphrase him, but he's basically like, if you take a tool using creature with a large neocortex and a desire to manipulate reality, eventually it's going to make some cool stuff.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And, that's where we're at.
And with that voice too. Yeah, yeah,
exactly. I love Duncan.
He's got that voice.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So we're going to,
there's another device that'll read your brain, by the way, that just happened.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh, so when a husband or a boyfriend says I'm not a mind reader.
Yeah. You have to wear a little like swim cap, but it's like EEG. Yeah. But I mean, they're saying it in the way of, oh, you know, it's for people that can't speak and, you know, can just communicate with their thoughts now, but that's also great. You can read your brain. So just flight. It's called D wave. Like that's not
D
what
D is in dog.
D E W A V E.
Okay.
And somehow that went under the radar. I was just like, wait, this is just a swim cap.
But what does that mean? Parts of your brain light up and it knows if it's connected to a certain type of emotion. How does it work?
I mean, it's that part's way over my head. I mean, like the paper they put out, I can't even begin to break that down.
So it's DE wave.
Yeah. DE wave, all one word, but just the fact that we're here now.
Yeah.
Like that you can just think, now you're going to be think to text. You know, we're all walking around talk to text. Now it's going to be think to text.
It's bad though. Cause then Laird's going to be like, what'd you say? I'll be like, nothing.
Yo, there's a lot of applications.
Oh, shit. No, the thing is, as a parent, like I've learned, I don't want to know.
Yes.
I do, but you know, I don't want to know all the gory details.
Absolutely.
Tell me later.
Yeah. In some cases.
In 10 or 20, never years.
In never years.
You know that one boy? I'm like, nope, don't care. No, we're through that.
All good.
No. And you said that there was an article in the New York Times about AI.
New York Times is suing OpenAI.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
That's right. What? Okay. Why?
They're saying because you can basically type a request into ChatGPT and you can get what they've shown to be a full transcript of a New York Times article.
Oh.
So they're saying you don't have to go to our paywall. You go to ChatGPT's paywall. There's a lot of sides to this because also it was found out that the way that they prompted it was very specific to get that New York Times article. It was like, give me this article from this date.
Written by this guy.
Exactly. So it's kind of like.
It's a New York Times staff writer.
Yeah, exactly. It is really. Exactly. I'm totally serious. You're right.
Oh geez.
Yeah, But it does show.
It's a precedent
and it shows that it was trained on their data. So you can't argue with that now.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Because they just inputted everything, right?
They inputted everything. Yeah. So it'll be interesting because I think there's going to be lines starting to be drawn where people are going to, you know, companies really are going to say, okay, well we're, you know, in partnership with them or we're fighting them. And it's really going to be like, it's going to come down to the companies that use AI and the companies that don't use AI. Mm. It'll be the ones that are in business and probably out of business.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
I do see what you're saying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I again, bright light, dark shadow.
Yeah.
And
where's Robin Hood when you need him?
Oh, yeah. We'll see, but maybe that's part of the our role as a collective is to start being like, wait, let's band together like the Merry Men and let's be like, no, this is not going to work. Like, we want this to go in this direction. Right. You know, we are the ones that everyone's trying to sell stuff to. So,
yeah, but we're all fighting. They've got us all battling.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's the other thing. Until we wake up from that bullshit narrative about like,
that's true.
You know, whatever. Gay, straight, black, white, male, female. Like, come on.
Aliens, no aliens.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, come on.
Yeah.
We all want the same things.
Yeah.
It's all a game. And, you know, so I'm down. I'm down for loving all my brothers and sisters, and trying to pay attention to the bigger things, you know, in that way.
Yeah.
So you came in today, we were going to record, and you just seemed like off your kilter, off your axis a little, like you went out into the world and you, what are you seeing?
Like when you said, oh, let's talk about this, I was like, I don't know what there's to say, but I don't even know how to articulate it. There's not a specific instance. It's more of just these realizations and seeing all these little micro transactions with people. And it's like, this is just, I'm seeing both sides. Obviously, we're talking about a lot of the light. I'm talking about the potential of these things, but like, oh, no.
You're getting into the human part now.
Come on. Okay. Don't say I'm getting into the human part. I've been in this. I'm here to engage with it, but I'm also just like, this is the bright light, dark shadow. That dark shadow is dark. Like, whoa. I mean.
But you know, they talk about like the mind sickness.
Oh, you're saying Elon's thing? We called it the woke mind virus?
No, just even it started in COVID with fear.
Mind sickness.
Yeah, it's just sort of like this, something has happened that, you know, with people, like this anxiety, this depression, isolation. A lot of people are experiencing this. And I think we're obviously, because we are all connected, when you go out into the world, you can feel it.
Yeah.
And it's all one can do to keep it at bay for themselves.
Yeah.
So if, let's say, for example, you're doing a somewhat okay job of that, where it only floats in and out of your day here and there, like, what am I doing here? Then you're going to be sensitive to the energy that a lot of people, I don't know what it is, but I really think that this phone is eating people. This device is a lot of people, it's eating them. And then you take a whole group that's developing on it and they got no shot. And also their brain, whether we like it or not, is getting wired differently.
So to just blame it on the phone doesn't seem totally accurate. It seems like it's the device or tool that's being used for our collective consciousness to right now cannibalize itself. You said eat itself.
Yes.
So, but I wouldn't say it's just because of the phone. Because
what else would it be? Everything that happens on the phone.
It's
teenagers in Snapchat and these fucking videos.
But the phone is our window to that, to all these other things that's happening.
Exposure to this stuff.
Yeah.
And we think that's actually how life is.
Yeah. Or that world is real. Like whatever we've put on, like the believing into this digital alternate reality, that's real.
I think that's what you're experiencing.
I think it's exactly a huge part of it. Yes.
What's weird is like, because I go to the grocery store, like I'm in the real world.
Yeah.
It feels like even when people are here in real life, their mind is somewhere else.
Yes.
Their mind is like, it's either they can't wait to get back to that window or something. Yeah. I don't know.
But that feeling is not just like get back to that window, but it's almost like you're some part of them or us collectively is believing that thing is more real than
this. Yes, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
So that's what you're feeling. It's when you
a
go
huge
out there.
Part. Yeah, absolutely, it's a huge part of it. And the bringing up COVID is so interesting because that was what I was thinking today too. Is just how it went from masks. You know what? Like if you saw someone with a mask 4 years ago, you'd be like, "Oh shit, something's wrong."
Yeah.
You know. And then all of a sudden it was like, "Oh, that's normal. Everyone's walking around with masks. Mm-hmm. We just adapted so quick."
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it was like, "If you don't have a mask, you're a rebel now." Yeah. And now it's just back to no mask. Now if you see someone with a mask, it's like, "Oh, well." Just that rate of adapting, like that we can just be like, okay, this is the new normal.
Right. Because in a way, I think if we didn't have this window that created so much distraction and entertainment for us, we'd be asking more questions also because we'd only have this reality.
And this window, you're talking about the phone, mm-hmm. has allowed us to ask so many more questions. The amount of people, like I have this friend.
But all this information to do what with?
Well, so here, this my friend has been a political activist since the 60s. Like she was out there protesting, mm-hmm. like back in Vietnam, just the whole thing. She's a G. And she's like, and I said to her, I was like, yeah, you know, it's like everyone's, what did I say? I was like, oh, the people are just realizing how corrupt the government is. And she's like, well, no, they're just realizing it. Like, it's not like the everything, people are starting to be like, oh, wait, it's really, like you're saying, it's really corrupt. And they're really taking advantage of us in our food system and our media and all this stuff.
Listen
is really
to music from the 60s.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. But we're all starting to like question it. We are questioning.
But what are we doing about it?
What are we doing about, I mean, first it starts by being aware of it.
Okay.
Like that's.
But what's going to happen?
Well, I don't know.
Because that's what I'm interested in.
Oh, I'm interested in that too.
It's like.
That's what I'm saying. Pay attention.
Yeah. Well, the German farmers, did you see them?
No.
I believe it's in Germany.
Yeah.
All the farmers, they put these tax on them. It's so unfair. So they just went around and put a bunch of like manure and they mobilized. Did you see it?
It was in France?
I thought it was, but it's German.
Okay.
Leave it to the Germans.
Yeah.
Organized.
And they just put manure on it.
And now they're having to change some of these policies. Wow. So the point is it's like, if this creates change or motion, I'm all for it. But if it's just like, now I'm aware that how screwed everything is, that's dumb.
It has to start with awareness.
Right. But the fact that the other part of that is we're all inner fighting and this, And the ease of use of sitting at the window and getting that dopamine is what I'm going to be so fascinated to see if we go, no, I'm going to activate.
Yeah. I mean, I just think it's an essential first step to be aware.
Fair.
And I do see action being taken by people. Like I have friends that were like, oh, wait, wow, they're spraying all of our food with poison. Did you know that? Like, and it's like, oh yeah, you didn't know that?
And what state just passed a law that they're not allowed to spray and fly over?
Oh, chemtrails?
Oh God.
Did a state just do that? I didn't know. Yeah.
I don't want to say Maine, Delaware. One of those guys said it's illegal to do it. Probably be moving there.
No, this is another Duncan Trussell. What? He was talking about chemtrails and he's like, yeah, when you hear those people talk about chemtrails and they're drinking out of a big gulp and sipping out of hitting on a vape, and it's just like, you're fucking living chemtrails. Like,
you probably actually have a good tolerance for it. Don't eat organic because the chemtrails are really going to screw you up.
Or something. Yeah, exactly. Or like, you know, everyone's going to, the whole like conspiracy around like depopulation. But then you're like, wait, but what are you doing with these microplastics? And like, what are you, like, how's that working out for you?
Wait, who was saying that? I was listening to somebody. I went to see a friend of mine yesterday and saying like, maybe our bodies are going to be able to process plastic. Like maybe we'll transition to that point.
Maybe, but I think that I would imagine evolution takes a long time to get to there.
Know.
Yeah.
I know.
So we're going to need nanobots to do that for us. And like, then are you going to want to inject nanobots? I don't think so. So
no.
Avoid the plastic water bottles.
Seriously. Yeah. Especially the ones that baked in your car for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
All right. So Elijah, listen.
Yo, tell me.
In ways I think I always appreciate that you allow me to come at you with my technology frustrations and concerns.
It's a dialogue. It's a conversation.
I know, you're the one I can really say the genuine things I'm reluctant about. And I've said this over and over, but like if you go to the grocery store or you're walking around in your life, look at somebody in the eyeball, say hi, smile, because it's still, for the most part, the other thing, the tool can be fun, but the only thing that makes us really feel good, it's the same stuff.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Okay, great. Easy use. I can have stuff delivered. I don't need a Thomas guide anymore. I can use my Google Maps or Waze or whatever. That's great. But the stuff that really makes me feel good is the same as it was 300 years ago.
Yeah.
And until we merge with technology, which we have not yet, I just hope people, that's what I want to have these conversations for, is I want to have this show be part of all the shows and conversations around how can we take care of ourselves and lobby for our health so we get that space and that perspective so we can have that discipline to make it a tool and not the thing that eats us alive.
To use that to actually create all of those things you just talked about. Because it is possible.
Would you rather be single right now without dating apps or and having to meet women in the wild? Or do you like the apps?
It's not that I like apps at all.
No, you know what I'm saying.
No, but I mean, for me, it's like, I don't drink. I don't go to bars. It's not like I'm going to meet somebody at a club. Like, that's not my vibe. So I don't know, but all the like meaningful relationships, I've just never been off an app. So it's like, I appreciate that that exists to connect, but at the same time, it's like, what really matters doesn't.
To connect.
Yo, I mean that literally.
I appreciate it to connect.
No, but no, it's not just like that.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, but it's it's a tool.
And with that, Elijah Allen Blitz, love you. Thank
you. Love you, thank you.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. If you want to learn more, there is a ton of valuable information on my website. All you have to do is go to GabrielleReese.com or head to the episode show notes to find a full breakdown with helpful links to studies, research, books, podcasts, and so much more. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out and send them to @GabbyReese on Instagram. And if you feel inspired, please subscribe. I'll see you next week.